Tracking, mixing,
editing,
audio restoration,
transfers,
wire recording,
tape transfers,
instantaneous records,
enhancement, on hold messaging,
commercial and long form voiceovers,
podcasting,
audiobooks, location recording. We're Avocado Productions.
Hello, and welcome to Avocado Productions webcast number 2. On our, we've decided to call it a webcast. There you go. On our last program, I introduced you to wire recordings and gave you some background and a small amount of history on them. We're going to talk a little more about them today, and I've got some sound clips lined up for you to hear also. Some are interesting, some are funny, some historic, so we'll get to those in a minute. As I mentioned on the last program, wire is very thin. And maybe I didn't stress it enough. Wire is very thin. It measures about the diameter of a strand of hair. And, you know, that's fascinating to me that something so small can reproduce sound so well. But because of its size, wire can be fragile. It's easily tangled, easily kinked, easily broken. All of these things can be avoided with proper handling. And with proper handling, the sound transferred from wire can be pretty good. Now, kinked and broken wire, that can still be transferred and much of the recording saved. But the biggest enemy to a wire recording is a tangle, even a small one. Small tangles turn into big messes very fast. We have a photo or two on our website, avocadoproductions.com. I think it's on our wire recording page, of some wires that we've gotten that were tangled. One of them, beyond repair. And in this case, the customer played the wire to hear what was on it. The wire tangled, either during playback or rewind. It often happens during the rewind process. And they attempted to untangle it themselves. Well, the recording, which ended up to be a priceless piece of family history, was completely lost. And it was only then, when it was a complete mess, that they decided to send it to us. But by then it was just too late. There was nothing we could do for them. So the moral of the story is, when you find a spool of wire, even if you have a machine at your disposal, do not attempt to play it. Because unless your machine was restored by a good electronic technician, the chances are that it's not working properly. And a machine that's not working as well as it should will tangle, or at the very least, it'll break your wire. So if you find a wire, just send it to us. We have a no-charge policy in place for cases where the wire turns out to be blank. A lot of our customers are worried about that. What if I send you the wire and there's nothing on it? What'll you charge me? Well, we don't charge you anything. It doesn't happen very often, believe it or not. The reason that most of the time they're not blank is that they were expensive in their day. So you didn't just buy a wire and throw it in the drawer. You used it. So chances are there is something on that wire when you send it to us. So when they're handled properly, wires have held up very well over many, many years. They don't have the degradation problems that some forms of magnetic media have had to deal with. It also takes a very powerful magnetic field to erase a wire. Those are all good reasons to include a wire recording in something like, a time capsule. In 1998, some employees at IBM sent us a set of wires to transfer. The wires had been found in a time capsule in the cornerstone of IBM's plant number 2 in Poughkeepsie, New York. They were recordings of the plant's dedication ceremony, which took place in 1948. There were many, many important people who attended this ceremony, including Eleanor Roosevelt and General Eisenhower, who had just become president of Columbia University and was soon to become NATO commander and, of course, subsequently president of the United States. And here's a part of the speech that he made at that event.
And now we come to one who has dedicated 36 years of his life to active military service in defense of American security. I am honored by this opportunity to present to you General Eisenhower.
Ms. Roosevelt.
Ladies and gentlemen, having kept some rough track of the people who have come up to this place this morning, I notice that my position corresponds roughly to that of the pitcher. Now, every American knows that when the pitcher comes to bat, there's nothing much expected. Of course, I am well aware also that he's expected to be reasonably brief in bowing his way out. And as long as he doesn't swing at something over the grandstand, he can get through and everybody is happy. And as a bit of further alibi, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that for the past 37 years, I have, after all, with my veteran friends in this audience, been dealing with machines that were far more effective than my vocal cords. The freest, most independent, and therefore the proudest individual that walks the face of the earth is the American citizen. And whenever numbers of them, by the hundred or by the thousand, assemble for any event, their very gathering gives to that event a significance which should never be lost on any of us. We have met today to dedicate to its future use a building of the IBM Corporation. Yet this number of proud, of free Americans would not assemble if we were here merely to say some words and utter a few platitudes about a collection of mortar, glass, a stone, and metal, no matter how artistically it might be put together. This event has for all of us a far deeper meaning.
This was made on one of the GE Model 50 machines, which had larger spools and much more wire on the spools than the more common Webster Chicago-style spools that came out a little later. It's also believed that the event was first recorded to transcription disc and then dubbed to wire later for inclusion in the time capsule. It was a good choice. A transcription record would not have survived in the cornerstone of a building, if it even fit in the first place. So dubbing it to wire was a good choice in this case. Recordings made on wire give us an interesting glimpse of life around 1950. It was the first time that a recording longer than 4 or 5 minutes could be made at home. And most people would set up the machine to record as things were happening in the room. Now, I'm sure we've all done this with our video cameras, set it up to record during a family gathering like Thanksgiving dinner or a birthday party, Christmas, some gathering of the family and all the relatives. You set up the video camera and record what's happening in the room. Well, that's what they did with wire, too. And it's interesting to note that families are families no matter where or when they lived. Family discussions were pretty much the same as they are today, only maybe the names have changed. Here's a clip of one family discussion that centered around a couple of popular singers of the time.
I'm going to take this Elvis Presley.
Maybe it was a record of Elvis.
I have done a record of his.
He's really good, isn't he?
Just like him, and then all
good?
Of a sudden
don't you think
he's
so stupid he don't know it?
Oh, he sure laughs at you when he goes to the bank.
Yeah, I don't doubt that a bit. Hound dog and goose way
to you. When he stands there, it just wiggles, and the girls just scream.
I made a prediction down at work about a week ago or so, and the girls almost called me a hound dog man. I said, 2 years from now, you walk into any high school and ask the students who Elvis Presley was, and I use the past tense, was, and I said, they won't know. I say, well, who was he? And these girls only just hooted and howled, oh, no, he'll go down in history.
Well, don't you think he will?
Well, in a way, I suppose he will.
Oh, look at Ralph Valentino.
Yeah, Presley wasn't anything like Valentino.
Well,
Valentino was a man.
I don't know about that.
This guy.
Where's Presley? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rudolph Valentino. Oh, tore down. Yeah.
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 No.
Girls used to just holler when Sinatra.
Yeah, but he didn't last long.
He's still around.
Still singing.
Well, he's taking a different course, though. He had to clean himself up before they took him out. Because he fell flat on his face.
I remember when girls used to skip school. High school won't hear him when he was in Chicago.
I wonder if that gentleman ever did ask high school students about Elvis 5 years later. We all know what they would have said. Wires were used a great deal in the business world also, mostly for dictation. As a matter of fact, the Webster Chicago machines that we use most often were sold as dictation machines for business. Here's a series of clips from a set of wires we received for transfer. Now, notice the typewriters in the background. You don't hear this in an office anymore.
EXO-RA-120, LaGuardia Ground Service, Murdoch, M-U-R-D-O-C-K. Please advise number of flight hours, EAL, utilized plane number 37573. EXO-RA-RB Klinke, K-L-I-N-K-E.
This is EXOAD extension 349. This is going to Denver F.F. Bowman and Denver Sales Wright. Retail to Grember. Balance of 1960 wall calendar mailers have cleared Midway AF. Please.
I would date these at around 1960, but I'm sure that they had been reused many times. 1960 would have been the last time they were recorded on. Those are a little late for most wire recordings that we get in, but I would imagine it was still very cost-effective for businesses to continue using wire late into the 1960s. Wire spools were still being manufactured into the 60s. But by that time, manufacturers had stopped production on the machines, on wire machines, in favor of the new open reel tape format. So the popularity of wire, at least in the United States, was pretty short-lived, lasting between about 1947 to, 1955 or so. So that's a little more background and some things that can go wrong with wire. I do have a couple other clips to play for you, but I'm going to save those for our next program. We invite your comments and questions on this and other webcast programs. You can email us at info@avocadoproductions.com. I'm Angie Dickinson-Mickle. Thanks for listening.